tonight. What a privilege that it is to have Brother West and his wife. They're missionaries down there at San Luis Pizzeria. Pasito. Parvosi. I have more than that. Yeah, I have too many syllables. I have false teeth. Don't pick at me. Don't pick at the only fault I've got. No. Hey, we're glad. Come on here, Brother West. We're glad to have you and all that business right there. Man, what a blessing to have you in our church. God bless you.
Thank you,
brother. And we're just kidding about all that other stuff and all that. Take your time.
Oh, I ain't going an hour and a half like the originally planned.
Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Now,
they may leave halfway through.
We go where we want to.
Well, hey, I've got a clock ticking here, so I will watch that. One thing I learned when I went on deputation 22 years ago, of course, I asked advice of my parents, you know, all the rules to follow and stuff. And one thing is, they always say, if the pastor gives you 10 minutes, take 9 minutes. Don't ever go over. Respect the pastor, because, you know, every church is different. Sometimes they give you 5 minutes. Sometimes they give you 30 minutes, like here. Sometimes they just say, speak till you're finished. So anyway, I know, you never know. I never know. Y'all probably know him after this long. I never know when he's joking, when he's serious. So I was like, is this a funny one? Or? He came to our church for years, preaching in our revivals back. Well, I don't know when the last time he was there, but it was always a hoot. He always had a jacket on. He'd sweat like crazy. Almost said sweat like a hog, but I don't want to say sweat like a hog. But he would sweat a lot, but he delivered some powerful messages. And we enjoyed every year when he came. And I think, was there some kind of chocolate or what was it that he liked? Do you remember, Darla? Or it seemed like there was something he, or we thought that he especially liked. And so every time he came, we made a big deal of presenting it to him. But again, I've slept since then, so I forgot. You know, so I'm not as old as your pastor. I'm 65, so I'm a little younger, but my mind sometimes does not serve me very well. But it is good to be here. Y'all been supporting us. This is the first time we've set foot in your church. We were in the same church, Brother Dennis and I were in Faith Baptist in Teague, and we were talking, and I'm trying to remember exactly how it all happened, but we talked a little bit, and next time, no, either he called me or he told me right then, we're going to take you on for support. Amen. So y'all been supporting us without even seeing us. So we've been trying to get up here and to visit you, so now it's such a privilege to be able to be with you guys here in person. We are missionaries to San Luis Potosi. Has anyone been to San Luis Potosi here in this church? Nobody? It's a little bit different. It's about from here. It's probably, of course, we take a bus from San Antonio down. It takes about 14 to 16 hours on a bus. So it's not too far. We get on the bus at 9 o'clock at night. Well, no, they change that. 5 o'clock. And then you sleep through the night. And 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, you get there. So we've been there since we started in 2002. We arrived in Mexico. My wife, the pastor mentioned my wife, Darla, we're celebrating 44 years of blissful marriage, you know. And big part of it is the hugging, you know. You women, if you keep hugging your husbands, like my wife hugs me, he'll stay with you. So I would encourage you to hug your husbands. I've got a couple of observations on Mexico life. If you've not been to Mexico, we've learned a lot since we've been there, but I wrote down six things that jumped out at me. When you ask their name in Mexico, I was talking to one of the boys here, and he said, I speak some Spanish. Was it you? All right. And he gave me some good words. But you say, if you ask, what's your name? Oh, somebody else back there speaks Spanish? Okay. You say, ¿cómo se llama? What's your name? Or ¿cómo te llamas? Well, they always respond with four names. Like here, somebody says, what's your name, David? Your name? I say, my name's David. But there, they say, what's your name? And they say, my name is Juan Gonzalez Pedro Castillo, whatever. Long. And so I'm trying to remember that first name because if I will see him the next time, I'm going to. So it's hard to get used to hearing four names. When you start an event, like Darla mentioned, you start an event at 11 o'clock, it's not rude to get here at 11:30. That's just the common thing. And I've tried everything to change that. And some are doing better, but the majority just, they kind of ease in. That's the Mexico way. So, although in school, and I told them, you guys, when they go to school, at 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock when the school starts, they shut the gate. And if you come late, a minute late, your kids don't go to school. So they know how to get there on time. But there's something about church and other things, and of course parties and other things. If they buy a bag of chips in a store, you're riding together with somebody, and they buy the bag of chips, they have to offer you some first. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, these are sweet things. To me, these are sweet things that I've seen in Mexico. If you go to a town, if you go to the town of a Mexican friend and you don't go by and visit them, they will be very much offended. I found that out the hard way. I mean, sometimes you go, you want an American mindset. You've got a place to go. You don't have much time. You want to go right there. But if you don't go by there and chew the fat for a while, they'll be offended. And when you do talk to a Mexican on a friend, I'm talking about Mexicans, okay, not Mexican-Americans, Mexicans. When you call them on the phone or whatever, you can't get right to the point. You got to, hey, how you doing? Yeah, Mariano, how's the family? And how's work going? And, you know, go through all that and then finally get to the reason you called. So, and they're the sweetest people in the world, but they're terrible behind the once they get in the car, something clicks in their mind and they become a different person. Yeah. But man, face to face are the sweetest people. But anyway, it's great to know the Mexican people. If you'd like to come down and see us, San Luis Potosí is a beautiful part of the country. Where we live, we're about 6,000 feet in altitude. So my mindset when I went to Mexico, I was thinking hot. You know, most people that watch TV, it's sandy and dirty, which it is sandy and dirty. But they think it's hot too. Well, where the part that we lived in, it's called the High Plains, the Altiplano, and we're 6,000 feet in altitude. So when y'all are sweating up a storm in June, July, and August, it's nice and comfortable there. That's one reason my dad wanted to come down and see me every summer. My dad loved coming to Mexico. His heart was missions, of course. You know that. If he came here and spoke a number of times, his heartbeat was missions. So anyway, I'm very, very proud to be called the son of Joe West. I miss him like the Dickens. I used to call him all the time. Anytime I got to lead somebody to the Lord, he wanted to hear about it. And man, I'd get back home and he'd be the first one I called. Dad, I got to lead somebody to the Lord. Tell me about it, son. And I get to tell him about it. I miss those times. Those sweet, sweet times. Open up your Bibles, if you would, in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. It's a very familiar passage. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 through 20. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 20. Verse 1 says, oh, okay.
Stick it on. All righty. Play on something. Okay. Anywhere you want to. And it'd be good, better pitch up right there.
Right there.
All right. Is that going to be in your waist? Stick it inside your shirt.
Okay.
I had a fat preacher one time. He tore it up.
Trying to watch it now.
Uh-oh. Is he getting personal again?
That's all right.
We just talk loud in Mexico.
That's okay. You talk loud here, but see, this will make it not go in and out. How's that,
Brother Dave?
Testing one, two, three.
He's ready.
14. Very good.
Hey, go ahead on chart.
All right. Not a problem. Mark chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful morning you've given us, Lord, for the good teaching we've already heard and the wonderful songs praising your name, Lord. We just thank you for the spirit that we find here in this building. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak through us today through this word. Thank you for your word that we can just trust in. We know it's something that you said and that we can use to share and to encourage one another. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love this parable. I love farming. And it's interesting because my ministry, my ministry is in the ranchos. If you saw my prayer card, I think I've got one up here. David and Daughter West Missionaries to the Ranchos of San Luis Potosí. A rancho, I need to explain this sometimes. Many times we think of ranchos as a ranch. You know, somebody's got a big piece of land, they got horses and cattle, and so you got to drive on the ranch and talk to the owner of the ranch and get permission. In fact, somebody said that in Jacksonville. They said, so do you have to get permission from the ranch owner to whatever? I said, no, a rancho is a village. Okay, they just call them ranchos in the state of San Luis Potosí, Mexico. Mexico is divided into 32 states. We live in one state, okay? And the villages in that state, they call them ranchos. So basically, we go to these villages, and what God had placed upon our heart was to go and saturate the whole state of San Luis Potosí. All right, I'm trying to say it gringo-ized. San Luis Potosí. Saturate the whole state with the gospel seed. That was our number one goal, is that every house. One thing that Oswald J. Smith said, I don't know if you know or have heard of him, but he was a missionary statesman. He said, why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once? Now, me personally, I've heard the gospel zillions of times. I was born in, my dad started Townies Baptist Church in May of 1958. I was born in June of 1958. So all my life, I've been in church. So I've heard the gospel so many times, but there's so many people out there in the world still that have not heard the gospel even one time. My favorite track, and we come across this in the ranchos, the majority of the people have never heard the gospel. I walk in there, I love to start. I've got a track, it says in English, where will you spend eternity? ¿Dónde vas a pasar la eternidad? Where will you spend eternity? And it's amazing. The majority of people have not even thought about it. We get so involved in the day-to-day, we don't even realize, we don't even think about, yeah, that this life is going to end in 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, 110 years, and then you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You haven't even thought about that? And they start thinking about it. I said, what do you think it takes? And, of course, the majority in our state, I've got a little book that shows all the statistics in each state and all that, and the area that we're working, it's around 95 to 96% Catholic, okay? But they're like a lot of Baptists. They don't even know their doctrine. They're Catholic by name only. They go to Mass and all that. Some go to confession, some don't. But they don't know, you know, what the Bible says about this or that. If you ask them what it takes for a person to go to heaven, they have no idea. They just think it's works, you know. They have a lot of idolatry. That's true. They do a lot of a lot of fiestas and stuff with their patron saint and all. But when it comes to the gospel, they don't know what the gospel is. So it's such a privilege. And Darla and I have been going to these ranches. When we got there, we decided we're going to set first. We, of course, we want to start churches and we want to win souls and make disciples, but it all starts with presenting the gospel. And so we decided we're going to go all the ranchos. We're not going to the cities. We've sent many missionaries to Mexico over the years. Perhaps y'all have other missionaries in Mexico. Our church, Town East Baptist Church, has about 82 missionaries, and I would guess 7 or 8 missionaries of ours are in Mexico. So we've had missionaries going for years and have established churches in the cities, many in the cities. And so we decided we're not going to go anywhere where there's already a work. We want to go where there's nothing, no church at all. And the majority of the ranchos, when we go into there, there's nothing. There's a Catholic church. There may be a little chapel or whatever, a capilla, a Catholic chapel. But there's no Baptist church, no Christian church, there's nothing, okay? And so we just start going place to place and presenting the gospel. And I'll share some of those testimonies maybe later, but I want to come back to our passage in Scripture, Mark chapter 4. The Bible says, of course, Jesus shared the parable, and then the disciples said, so what does this parable mean? They didn't understand what the principle he was trying to share. And Jesus had to explain it in verse 14. He said, the sower soweth the word. I feel like I'm a, that's why I say this appeals to me, because I feel like a farmer myself. I've always loved the idea of farming. We had 10 acres in Atkins, Texas, outside of San Antonio, and we would plant okra and corn and all sorts of things. But just the concept of putting a seed in the ground and then watching that seed break forth, that was always exciting to me. And then to think that God sent me to Mexico, and in one sense, I'm doing the same thing. We're planting the seed. And the seed is, as Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. The seed is the word of God. In the other passage in Luke, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And we have a responsibility to sow the seed, not just in Mexico, not just in San Luis Pizzeria, as your pastor says, but in Nacogdoches. Although there are churches, I'm amazed. I drive through from Jacksonville to here, driving through and seeing church and church and church and church. But you know what? There's a lot of people that they're not saved. If you ask them, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Probably many of them would say, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a whatever, you know, label you want to put on there. But, you know, we can't forget, even though there's churches, we may relax. I mean, I even find myself, I tend to maybe relax a little bit. Sadly, I'm being transparent. When I'm here, I see all these churches. You're not thinking so much, well, I need to talk to this person, or I need to give this person a tract, because, look, there's a church there, there's a church there. But so often these people, less and less people, I know in San Antonio, less and less people are even going to church. And so these kids, what a great sight this morning, all these kids. Man, it's wonderful to see so many kids now, they know nothing of church. It used to be parents would go to church, or if they didn't go to church, they would make their kids go to church. That's how my wife got saved. My wife's mom and dad were unsaved, but they realized that their kids need to go to church. And I think a neighbor, Miss Wishart or someone, invited them and took her and her two sisters. And then later they rode the bus, okay? But nowadays there are a lot of people that don't even do that. So we have to keep thinking, okay, we still got to preach the word. We still have to get the word out. It's good to support missionaries, but we're missionaries here in our neck of the woods, here in Nacogdoches. And what should we be preaching? The Baptist church? No. We should be preaching Christ. Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. That's what we should be preaching. We can get so involved in all this other mumbo jumbo, but the most important thing is Christ. I think your pastor just mentioned that this morning, or one of the other men mentioned that. When we got down to Mexico, of course, we went to Aguas Calientes. When I went to Mexico, I spoke no Spanish. I was like that young man. He knows, don't tell me, I'm going to remember, because he told me the words he knows. He knows bread, pan, right? And he knows, I'm sorry, I forgot the other words. Huh?
You better give up.
What was the other word you said you knew in Spanish?
Girl, boy, and...
Oh, niño, niña. Okay. You know more than I did when I got to Mexico, and I was a missionary. So I had to spend a year in Aguas Calientes learning the language, okay? After I graduated, we moved over with the idea of working with a missionary, and we got there, and the missionary called us in and said, I'm sorry, Brother David, My wife is very sick. We have to move back to the States. And it's like, wow. And so I'm there with the education my teacher said when I graduated from language school, I had the vocabulary of a 3 or 4 year old. And I had to grow from that. Very humble. Muy poquito, yeah. And he speaks Spanish. And I was 44 years old when I went to Mexico. You're never too late to start a ministry. If God says now, don't throw all those doubts, those questions, like, wait, you know, I could have done this at 20 maybe, or maybe 30, but 44? Anyway, I had to learn the language, got over there to work with a missionary and to improve my Spanish and all that stuff, and he has to leave, and it's like, what do I do? Well, we went down the basement of that building there, and there were boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of tracts and John and Romans sitting there. Do those tracts, back in that track rack, do those tracts do any good sitting right there? No. No, I'm not picking on you. Do those tracts, don't you hate when you ask a question, they respond wrong? I wasn't embarrassing you. No. Do those tracts sitting in that track rack and not leaving that track rack do any good? No. That was a question I was asking. Don't want to embarrass you. I'm always, especially with guys like this, when they're preaching, they ask a question, it's like, I don't want to answer because I don't know which way he's going to go. I'm going to say it wrong. But the seed, it does no good sitting in those boxes. And so I told Dart, I said, well, we're here. I know God wants us to go to the ranchos. Maybe I can't speak very good, but there's the seed. There's the people. That box of tracts needs somebody to take those tracts out. And that's how we started. About the only word I knew was regalito or regalo. What's regalo? Look at your pastor. You're impressing me, brother. Otra vez, poquito. Regalo or regalo means gift. Or gratis. Everybody knows gratis. That means free. And so that's pretty much how I started. I'd get a bunch of tracts and just go back to a rancho and get out, and we'd just go house to house. And all I could do was, I'd say, regalo. And he or she would take it, and they'd say something, blah, blah, blah. That's all I heard, blah, blah, blah. Like, all I could do is repeat, regalo, and then just move on. But, you know, some of us have more capacity, more gifts, more whatever. And so oftentimes we don't do anything because we don't have the same capacity as someone else. We're always comparing ourselves with other people. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we sit back, well, let them do it because they have more whatever. You know, God wants to use you with what you have.
That's right.
And he will give you what you need as you move forward. Yes, but sure. So many times we just sit back and like, okay, well, you know, God will use, you know, Joe Blow or John or Joan Blow or whatever. But he wants to use you. So we just got out. We busted those boxes open. I praise the Lord for ministries like Fellowship Tract League and stuff that send these tracts to missionaries. And they're such a blessing. But again, they've got to be taken out.
Yes.
The Bible says the seed is the word of God. Number in the sower. Of course, like I said, we were the sowers, and I praise the Lord for my wife. It was just me and her. She's beat up now, folks. I got to be honest. I praise the Lord she's here this morning. Very rarely does she get to go to church. She's in so much pain. Basically, at home in Mexico, she's either got to be laying on a bed or laying on a sofa, reclined. If she sits up for an hour, she's been sitting up an hour and a half now, she sits up an hour, she's in a lot of pain. And this morning even, she got up and said, Brother David. She didn't say Brother David. She said, Lord and Master David, no. She said, honey, I'm not going to be able to go. And that breaks my heart. She got beat up because we go out in these ranchos, and if you've driven in a rancho, it's not paved roads. It's not gravel roads, it's like riverbeds many times. We're going down across rivers, up mountains, and she's you know, bouncing back and forth, and she's falling out of the truck twice, and so I think, yeah, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Not while I was driving, okay? She didn't fall out of the truck while I was driving, but she has. Anyway, she's beat up. I'm saying all this. She went with me for like 17 years, folks, and I think it's all that accumulation has just beat her up. And so now she can't go there, but she was such a blessing. She used to get out with me, and then it got to where she couldn't get out, so she's my prayer warrior. She'd go along with me, and she Couldn't get out of the vehicle, but she prayed. You know, folks, sometimes you hear a missionary say, please pray for me, and we think, you know, oh, he's just saying that because it sounds religious. No, we really need your prayers. Yeah. Really do. It makes a difference. I can feel when people are praying for me. I really can. God's hand of protection has been over us. Most people that know about Mexico, they think of the danger, and there are a lot of cartels, a lot of violence, there's a lot of deaths and stuff, but God has just protected us, you know, and it's because of the prayers of his saints. And I just want to ask you, just that's why we have the prayer cards back there, to remind you to pray for us. But I thank the Lord for my wife going along with me. We've been to, of the 6,731 ranchos in the state, we've been to about 1,600 of them. So we got a lot more to do. I'll probably give maybe some more, if I share something tonight, I'll share a little more details of our report or testimony. But, of course, you've been getting our letters. You see a lot of that. But let's move forward in the message. The seed is the word of God. It needs a sower. And then verse 15, let's jump down to verse 15. It says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. This makes me think of the majority of the Mexicans we talk to. I don't know how it is here in Nacogdoches, but in Mexico, the people will stop what they're doing and listen to you. They may be rude and maybe in Nacogdoches, but yeah, you're just whatever. But out in the ranchos, they're country folk, okay? That's the best way to describe it. It's out in the country. It's not in the city. It's out in the country. So they're usually, when I come across them, they're out with the sheep, or they're with the cows, or the donkeys, or they're building a fence or whatever. And you just walk right up to them, and they'll stop what they're doing, and they'll give you 10 or 15 minutes of their time, and they'll listen to you. I wish I could tell you that everyone that I've presented the gospel to has got saved. That'd be a lie. 95%, 96%, maybe 97% do not get saved, but they'll listen to you. But you know what we do? We keep preaching. You know one thing that relieved me of a lot of pressure for the longest? I mean, again, we all want results. I want to see churches established. I want to see missions established. I want to see people saved. But I realized, I came to the point, you know, it took a while, that it's not my job to save anybody.
That's right.
It's my job to preach the gospel to
That's
every creature.
Right.
And then let the Holy Spirit do the convicting and let them get saved. It's easy in Mexico, maybe here too. In Mexico, it's easy to get somebody to repeat a prayer.
Yeah.
I could win a bunch. I get there and, you know, here's, you know, you're a sinner. Jesus wants to save you. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And would you like to be saved? Yeah. Okay, well then just close your eyes and pray.
Yeah.
Lickety split, but you know what? It'd do no good. And they go away from there thinking, well, good, I'm going to go to heaven. And they die and go to hell.
Right.
And I carry some of that guilt.
That's right.
So I learned real quick, don't try to do the Holy Spirit's job.
Man.
You present the gospel. When you see conviction,
yeah,
then you can move forward. If not, yeah, hey, we'll talk another time.
Right.
But the majority are just like this. The one in verse 15, the seed is sown, and that Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, moving along. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. This makes me think of Juan Rodriguez in Ardilla, a young man. Again, I'm so careful now, very careful, of trying to lead somebody in a prayer. Very careful. But sometimes I feel the Holy Spirit's working and they're asking questions, and so I go forward and I, you know, they say they want to pray and be saved. And Juan Ardilla was one of these guys, and he called on the Lord, and yet the next time I went back, he had no interest at all. It breaks your heart when you see that. I'm sure you could all, everybody could probably stand up and give testimonies. I've led someone to the Lord. And, of course, I'm very big in discipleship, okay? If I win someone to the Lord, I don't say, okay, God bless you, I'll see you in heaven. No, within a week, I'm back with them to follow up with them, okay? It's easy to, and not easy, it's somewhat easy to win souls, and, you know, I got to win more people, put more notches in my belt. No, no, no. We've got just as much a responsibility to make disciples out of them. So So I'm always within 7 days, within a week, I'm back there, and I usually go 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 months with somebody if they're interested. Of those few that those that get saved, many of those are just like this person, the cares of this world, and they just kind of disappear. So again, I'm not a judge. I can't say they really got saved, they really didn't get saved. Again, that's not my job. I'm not the judge. They're going to stand before the Lord one day, and God is holding accounts. I'll be judged for my faithfulness to do what God has told me to do. But many people are like Juan Rodriguez in Ardilla. In verse 18, moving along, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. It's another sad one. When you finally get someone that I think probably are saved, and yet they get so caught up in the things of this world, and there's some Baptists like this. I know some Baptists in Town East Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. I know I believe they're saved, but, you know, I know it's funny. Sometimes we pray that God, I was self-employed before I went to Mexico. I had a painting and roofing company, and God blessed, and sometimes those blessings that we receive from God can become a stumbling block, because when God says, okay, I want you to do something now, well, I don't want to leave my business. I'm making good money. And Lord, after all, I am serving, I'm working, but I'm, you know, paying my tithe, I'm supporting missions. You know, we can throw those kind of excuses, but, you know, God may be dealing with somebody in this church. Maybe you're a good, faithful member of this church, and you're tithing, and you're supporting missions, and you're sacrificing, and yet God says, I want you to do something. I want you to be a missionary, or I want you whatever, and you try to justify, well, what I'm doing now, well, why would I stop what I'm doing now? In any moment, God should be able to change your direction. I mean, I was saved. I was teaching Sunday school class. I was teaching in children's church. I was driving a bus for the church. And then when God said, David, I want you to stop and go to Mexico, it's like, okay, I mean, here I am. And so let's just change. And if I'm in Mexico, and a few years ago when my brother died of cancer, he was our pastor. When he died, they contacted me and said, would you consider being our pastor? And my first response was, no, I'm a missionary. I love Mexico. I love folks. I love what I'm doing. I can't imagine doing anything else. But my first response was no, and the Lord had to deal with me about that. David, who are you to say no to something else? What if I want you to be pastor? I praise the Lord he did not choose me to become the pastor, honestly. But I have no right to close any doors, anything in my life. I've been in Mexico going on 21 years now, and I hope I'm there till I die. But if God says, David, I want you to do something else, what should I do? I should say, here I am, Lord, here I am. But so many people, they don't do that. This last part, man, time flies, doesn't it? Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, which such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I praise the Lord for some good testimonies. I had one of the first converts, Brother Ramon Reyna, in La Matanza. That guy, he got saved, and he got it from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was excited for the Lord, and he was my right-hand man. We'd go out, we'd show gospel films. I mean, at first, he was so nervous, like many of you are maybe, when the pastor says, I want you to get up there and teach a lesson or lead a prayer or whatever, and that's how Ramon was. I'd say, Ramon, would you lead a prayer? And he'd be stuttering, you know. But it got to the point where he was just, he would help me set up the screen and the projector, and we'd show the films. And little by little, I'd get him more and more involved in that. I praise the Lord for people that are producing fruit, just like Ramon Reyna. Also, Isela, a young lady that got saved. I found out later, after you win someone to the Lord, you disciple them, you spend some time, they start opening up more and more. She told me, Brother David, when you came here, I was about to commit suicide. I'd gone through life. I tried everything. And my family life was in turmoil and all this. And I was just going to end it all. And then you came. We went to her village to have a vacation Bible school. And she came along with her kids, and her kids got saved. And then she invited us to her house. We started having Bible studies in her house, and that's where we actually started a mission in a church with her house. But it all started that one day, and she told me you know, praise the Lord that God has changed my life. And now she's a soul winner, and I praise the Lord for that. Folks, the seed is good. The seed is good. We just need to be faithful to sow the seed. Verse in Isaiah 55:11, in closing, Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We have that guarantee. He's going to do what he wants to do. I gave up long ago trying to figure out God, what he's going to do. It just blows your mind when you try to, some of these scriptures you read, it's like, you know what? I'm going to leave it in his hands. I'm going to do what he's told me to do and trust him to do what he knows he's going to do. So let's just be faithful to spread the seed, to preach the word to every creature. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day you've given us. Once again, thank you for this word of the parable, Lord, encouraging us and showing us the need to sow the word of God to every creature here in Appleby, in Nacogdoches, here in East Texas. Lord, thank you for these faithful folks who have been faithful. Just help them to just continue to be faithful to preach the word to their families, invite them to church, and just be a faithful member of this church until you tell them to do something different. We ask these things all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor?
All right, let's have our song director come. Our musicians are going to come real quickly. Is this his water? Take it back to him. We're going to be singing a verse, a song. You know, an old Puritan writer, while he was talking about, says, God hath many arrows in his quiver. And he can shoot you whatever direction he wants to if you're willing to go. And so that's what we're going to do. Let's stand to our feet real quickly. We're going to be singing what number?
Page 375.
Maybe you're not saved this morning. God's tugging at your heart about it. You ought to come. Maybe here you are not sent this morning, but God is tugging at your heart about it. Well, you ought to come. We're going to sing an invitation song, give you a chance. What number was it?
Page 375.
375. Why?